We have been in a series called Talking with God. Let me ask you a question. Be real honest. Don't raise your hand just to make anybody feel good, because it's not about me. But during this series so far, has anybody felt some type of a growth in their spirit about their communication with God? Go ahead and raise your hands. If you felt some type of spiritual growth in your communication with God, that's awesome. I have too. I have loved this study and this focus in my life and in this church, and so thank you for that. Just to recap parts one and two real quick, God desires relationship. We established that, all of this scripturally. By design, this relationship requires time and communication. Very good. Time and communication. That's what this type of relationship requires. Actually, any type of relationship. God has information for you. God delivers this information when we listen appropriately. And I challenged you last week to take time to listen to God. And I asked about the ratio of listening to talking in your communication with God. That caused me to not talk as much. I still pray, but I take time to wait and see what God wants to do. Right? Okay? Never be afraid of a little bit of silence. Even in church, it's okay. We may be listening for God, and we have to clear out our minds. Right? We talked a little bit about how God has communicated to mankind throughout the Bible, audibly, through Jesus, through man, through scripture, by his actions, but mostly, and actually in all of these cases, God communicates to mankind spirit to spirit. John 16:13. But when he, this is Jesus speaking, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will disclose to you what is to come. So today we're going to talk about two things. What does God sound like? And number two, to be fair, what do you sound like? God, I thank you for this day and this time. And I ask that you help all of us, especially me, to think very clearly and speak precisely. And I want us all to gather everything that you have for us today, all the information that you have for us. Grow us in our relationship with you, Father, because we know because if that happens, then we're going to be a bigger and better impact for this world because of our love for you and love for people. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. What does God sound like? Well, Hebrews 1:1 we read last week, it tells us that God spoke in many portions in many ways throughout history. And I use the example in 1 Kings 19:11. I want to go ahead and read this. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? In that instance, God came as a still small voice, like a gentle blowing wind. Now, the flip side of the coin that I touched on this last week a little bit, God doesn't always sound alike. In Exodus 19 and 19, then this is when Moses was about to go up to Mount Sinai, and the presence of God was up there, and all the Israelites were down there. They were going through the wilderness, and he's going up there, and the Bible says that there was a fire, there was smoke billowing from this mountain. There was a loud voice of a trumpet. There was thunder and there was lightning. Exodus 19:19 says, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. That's fun to do. God answered him with thunder. So at this time it was loud and boisterous. And I'm sure the Israelites are probably saying, are you sure you want to hear from God? Now, I've known other people that had other experiences in their communications with God. I've heard that some people, when they're praying for somebody, they actually see like a video that comes up above their head, and not about the person's life or anything, but a little video that explains to them, shows them how they're supposed to pray for this person. I spoke with somebody last week, and I didn't get rights to this story but I won't share any names. But this person was praying for a family member. And in the middle of their prayers, they saw this just in their mind's eye, just a huge, like a movie billboard, the kind that had lights all the way around it. And it had one word on that sign. And they saw that, and it just, the eyes opened and knew exactly what to do. And it was beneficial for that family's health. What she was praying about was very beneficial. And so sometimes God will show us maybe a picture of something. For the most part, and I think most of the time, it seems that God communicates to us through our spirits, but it can be kind of described as an inner voice. An inner voice. For me, that's how I experience it. It's an inner voice, like a thought or a flow of thoughts that comes, and I know this isn't from me. Now, I laugh at myself sometimes. Actually, I laugh at myself quite a bit. But not because I'm funny, because I'm a dork. But I laugh at myself sometimes. I like to come, I've told you this, I like to come into the sanctuary in pace when everybody else is out of the church, and I pray in here because I can pray out loud and not get caught, you know, nobody catches me. Nobody's here, hopefully, anyway. And I'll be praying, and God will be talking to me about the sermon, or sometimes, you know, I've done some Bible study, and I don't know how to put all this stuff together, all this information. I don't know, God, what in the world am I going to preach about Sunday? And all of a sudden, something lines up when I just spend time with God and I talk to him out loud. And I find literally I'm just pacing around and I'm like, oh, that is awesome. That is good stuff. And then I realize that there's a camera back here that also records audio. And I'm like, man, they're going to think I'm conceited. If somebody gets a hold of that video, they're going to think, you know, that I'm talking to myself. Good job, Jeff. Thanks, buddy. High five. That was awesome. Well, that's me and God. I'm giving God all the credit. It's one of those things, that inner voice, it's like I didn't come up with this. Like I'm not that brilliant. That is good stuff, God. I'm not that brilliant. Sometimes it may be things like God tells you to do something. Like, let's say, buy someone's lunch. You see a table of people, and God just lays on your heart. You've been wanting to hear from God, and he says, you know what, you should just buy that table's lunch right there today. And you think about it, and you pray about it, and you're like, whew, oh, man, I thought that was God for a minute. You dirty devil, don't you tempt me to buy people's meals. Can you imagine what, like, if a demon tried to get you to do that, and he goes back to hell, and he's talking to Satan. He said, yeah, I tricked that Christian into buying some people's lunch today. Wait, that's not going to be very good, is it? Devil's not going to tell you to do stuff like that, okay? But, you know, is that God that's talking to you? That inner voice that comes to you and gives you an idea, and you think, listen, that's, it's not like outside of my personality, but I didn't come up with that thought. An author, Carl Wesley, says this, and I liked this. He says, when he hears the voice of God, he says, it's usually a short, to the point, powerful, and sometimes comes as a question. Realize that God is inviting you to ponder and answer him. God has spoken to me in questions several times. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10, and read about how young Samuel also struggled with recognizing what God sounds like. First Samuel 3, 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Sometimes that happens. If we're not careful, word of the Lord gets rare. I doubt if that's God's fault. Amen? Are we listening? Okay, continue. Verse 2, it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and laid down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lay down again. So this happened again. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And God spoke to him. One of the great prophets in the Old Testament. We see some transparency here. He didn't know the voice of the Lord as well. He didn't recognize God's voice either. But later, he became a great prophet. Verse 19 says, thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Samuel became great at recognizing and hearing in translating the word of God to him. Has anyone ever heard you say something and it may have seemed a little bit out of character and they said, well, that doesn't sound like you? Not because of how you sounded, your tone and your voice was the same, but it was the character that you represented when you said something. It was a little bit out of character for you, and they said, well, that doesn't sound like you. See, I believe that one of the most important things in recognizing God's voice is recognizing his character. His character will display his content. Is the content agreeable with how we know God's character to be? It isn't recognizing a sound or a tone. Sometimes it's recognizing the character or the nature behind the content. When you hear God's voice, you hear a voice of love. The content from God will reflect love. I think that's number one, what the voice of God sounds like. Love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. 66 books in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, love is mentioned 474 times. 234 times in just the New Testament, 27 books. That's an average of more than 8 times per book. Love. God will sound like love. When you hear God, it will boil down somehow to love. Sean Boltz writes in his book, Translating God. He says, concerning prophecy specifically, when people hear God, he said, the primary purpose of the Spirit's words is to reveal the love of the Father and our relationship with Him. That's the primary goal of the Spirit talking to you. God sounds like love. Now, sadly, we've all seen examples of people that hear from God and it doesn't really sound like a message of love. Sometimes it actually can sound like a message of condemnation and judgment. So what happens is we inadvertently begin to build walls when we encounter people like that that might have that gift of prophecy. And sometimes we inadvertently build walls to keep the gift of prophecy out itself in our lives. Paul says, listen, I speak with tongues as much as anybody. You should really desire the gift of prophecy. That's your communication with God and telling it, forth-telling. But I think it's important that we remember that sometimes there might be some people that or experiences that we've had that caused us to build up a wall. Don't build up a wall. Phil Elston said this, it takes no anointing to see what is wrong in people's lives. Tell them something they don't know. See the gold and tell them that. It's my encouragement about when you hear God and you hear a message for somebody else. If God is sending a message to you or through you or through someone else to you, ultimately it will sound like love. Our translation of God's message to us, however, I do not believe that we should be fearful of or immune to mistakes. Something else that we've sometimes experienced, and if you've been in church a long time with people that might have that gift, is it begins to be very matter of fact. Thus says the Lord. And somebody has a word for you, it's like, well, is that really true? Doesn't seem to line up with the Bible. No, that's what God said. Bless the Lord, you know. We may have known some people like that in the past or somebody like that in the past, or maybe we've been that person in the past. It's important that we remember two things in hearing from God. It doesn't mean that you're going to be 100% correct all the time. How about that? Did God miss it? No. Did we miss it? Yeah, it could be. I've lived with Jill we've been married, but the whole entire time. But I've been married to Jill. We've lived together for 33 years. And believe it or not, there are a few times that I still kind of misunderstand what she says. Yeah, I know it. Shocking. And I think every marriage, no matter how long you've been together, there's going to be times it's like, oh, I totally didn't get what you were saying there. I misunderstood that completely. Especially now with texting. You text me something and I look at this and I read this and I'm trying to figure out, I have no idea how to answer this. I'm going to pretend I didn't see it. But if there's still some issues with me understanding my wife after 33 years, it's okay that there's going to be some issues with me understanding God. Don't expect that you're going to be 100% correct every single time. However, don't be afraid to make mistakes. It's okay. But don't be afraid. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 14:8. I'll give you an example, and this is interesting. I didn't even remember that this was in the Bible, and I found this the other day. Acts 21. I thought that's not right. My bad. Acts 21. You see? See what happens? I made a mistake. You keep going. I just wanted to prove that point. Acts 21:10. As we were staying there for some days, now Acts, this is Luke writing this, okay? As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea and coming to us, took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. It's a prophecy. That's what he's telling them. When we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Here we have this prophet, Agabus, who we read earlier in Acts 11:28 that he is actually already successfully prophesied. He's mentioned twice. In one of his prophecies, it said it came to pass, and this took place in the reign of Claudius. So there's a time in Acts 11 that Agabus prophesied and it come to pass. It was about a great famine. Now Agabus shows up again with Paul, and Paul says, no. That's not what God is saying to me. Agabus didn't go down in history as a bad prophet. It said nothing about Agabus being a failure. It didn't say anything about him getting it wrong, and he was a false prophet. It just went on with the story. But his prophecy about Paul and at Jerusalem and the Gentiles did not come true 100%. And it may have been that Paul realized beforehand what God had told him to do. And even though he knew the circumstances, he was going to go ahead and go. Even though he knew he was going to get captured, he was going to go ahead and go. Agabus misunderstood and said, listen, they're going to tie you up. Don't go. Right? That's why we must remember that to be used of God properly, we have to work in without fear. Be bold about it, but it has to be in love. But Agabus had made a mistake in hearing God, and he wasn't considered a false prophet. He was okay. An example about Sean Bolts, and this was a great example just to show you how important it is to be bold about the gift that God has given you. He's dealing with prophecy, hearing from God for the benefit of showing God's love to other people. He lives in California and works there, and he's in a line at a store and sees somebody that's in the music industry, entertainment industry, and God is leading him to this person. And Sean goes up to him, and he feels like he's heard a word from the Lord. He says, excuse me, do you have a brother named Stefan or a cousin? And the guy smiled and said, no, I don't. Well, Sean felt terrible. I was like, oh, my goodness sakes. This is what we all fear, you know. And so he's like, oh, okay, sorry. And, you know, and he tries to get out of there real quick. The guy stopped him and said, wait a second. Why did you ask that? Just out of curiosity. So So I was trying to figure out, well, am I honest? I mean, is this going to make me look terrible? Is it going to make God look terrible? I don't know what to do. I'm just going to be honest with you. And he said, listen, I practice hearing from God. And I thought that God was giving me a message to you. And, you know, it wasn't accurate, and that's okay. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. And he's kind of, you know, letting him know exactly what happened. And the guy said, you know what? I've waited all my life to talk to someone that can hear from God. And they sat down and talked, and the guy gets closer to God than he's ever been. And it was a miracle. Yet Sean Bolts got it completely wrong. Not completely wrong. He acted in boldness out of love, wanting to show people the love of God. And when that happened, and he used boldness, and sometimes even when we mess up, God's going to say, ah, good try. I'm going to make this happen anyway. Amen. And it turns it around. It's like, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. God sounds like love, so we can then be bold about what we hear and what we share, because it's all done in and points to love. And there may be times that his voice isn't quite clear. Maybe we misunderstand. But if we begin to act, I believe this with all my heart. This isn't a scripture, okay? Just so you know. I believe that when we begin to act on what God is telling us to do, on the gift that God is giving us, when we begin to act on that, he's going to begin to have more and more confidence in you and be able to share more and more information with you. That's what I believe. God is saying to you, if it lines up with my nature, go for it. I believe that God would begin to really grow us in that area. God, is that you telling me to buy lunch for those people? Is that you telling me to take another route home? Is that you telling me to stop and pray for someone? Have you ever woke up at night and all of a sudden you just have a picture of someone in your head that you should pray for? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you want to know what God sounds like, I'm convinced that if you give him time and you seek him, he will reward you with fantastic information that you would never have thought of before. Amen. If God's communication to us reveals his love nature for us, then our communication back to him should also be in the light of love. Even if you're sharing something terrible that's distraught, if you've got something in your life, you're praying about something that's awful. Abortion in America. How in the world can we allow this to go on? And you're praying for this. That's an awful thing. But when we begin that prayer with a desire for the final result to be in love, we're now entering into communication, speaking the same language with God. Even the terrible things that we're praying about, even if we're troubled, we begin that conversation and realize that it's about love. God sounds like love, and God wants you to love. Then we're speaking the same language of God. When we begin to understand and really begin to feel the passion that God has for his people, when we begin to feel that same passion for God's people, it's not going to matter how you vote. I'm going to love you. Regardless of your political beliefs and views, I'm going to love you. When I begin to see you like God sees you, I'm going to love you. Regardless of your color, I'm going to love you. Regardless of your background, regardless of your beliefs, regardless if you wear a mask or not, I'm going to love you. Race, gender, regardless of anything, your stance on America, regardless of the country you come from, I'm going to love you. Because I'm learning more about how to see you like God sees you. And my communication with God is going to evolve and revolve around love. And God is saying to you today that he loves you. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for your love in our lives. That agape love that is needs nothing in return. It's above all kind of loves. We thank you for that. If you're here this morning and you want to experience that love and you don't feel like you have, and you give your life to Christ today, I want you to come forward. Let's say a prayer. Let's get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't want to miss out on eternity with God. Amen. God, we love you very much. I pray that you will do two things for us this week, God, this body here. I pray that you will do two things. Number one, will you grow us in our ability to communicate with you? Keep us spiritually attentive to your voice, to your will, to your word. I pray also, God, that you will teach us more and grow us in how to love your people like you do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that I could live like this today, so that I can be in heaven for eternity. Thank you for giving me life and life more abundantly. Thank you for wiping my slate clean. Thank you for cleansing me of the sins. Thank you for freeing me from slavery, from addictions. In the name of Jesus, thank you for that authority that you've given me, the love and the peace. Thank you. Grow us this week, God. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Well, church, take with you, please, the ability to impact lives everywhere you go. Don't forget to get registered to vote. But however you vote, and you should, I will love you. All right, you are dismissed.